Are you glad you know you're redeemed? Glad to know the Lord's not going to leave you? And that's a good thing, huh? Mighty good, as they say in the deep south. That's mighty good. And I'm glad. I'm glad you're here today. We're going to talk kind of along the same theme as we did last week with one of the same scriptures and then some more of them. So, glad to see you is what I'm trying to say. You know, we say that when I was a kid, people would get saved and enter into the church, if you will, and the older folks would say, Scott Espy made a change. Now, is that just an old mountain thing, or did you do it down here? You ever heard people say that? Ron Leonard made a change. What they were saying, that they got saved. They had an experience with Jesus. Jesus forgave them of sin. They were now part of the kingdom of God, part of the church, that kind of thing. So-and-so made a change. Now, we've quoted it and said, Behold, all things have passed away, and all things are new. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. So we know that that can be said, too. So what is the question today? The question is, what needs to be changed? The question is, when I meet Jesus, when he saves me, what changes? And you'd say, well, everything changes. There's songs written about it. There's scriptures about it, about how we become new in Christ Jesus. And that's true. We're to be changed when we meet Christ. But sometimes it's like not much happens. It's like Cooper Thomas when we was having a revival and Steve Williams was ready to get going. And he brought Cooper Thomas up here and he was just a little old boy at the time. And he was getting reared up to talk to all the children. And he said, Cooper, what's happening in children's church? All excited. Cooper looked up and said, Not much. If you were here at that point in time, you probably remember that. And the evangelist, he just kind of, he didn't know what to do for a second or two. What needs to change? Well, you say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, but sometimes, not much, it seems. That people claim to meet Jesus, but they behave the same as they did before and react the same and have some of the same problems, it seems. So human nature avoids change. You believe that? Look at any organization you want to. Look at yourself. Look at your family. Look at the church. Look at the business. Look any place you want to look. Human nature avoids any kind of change. We like the same old, same old. Even though we say we don't, we do. Human nature doesn't like change. Mark Twain said it like this. He says the only person who likes change is a wet baby. A wet baby. See, that's what happened. There went one. Got wet, had to go change that baby. The only person who likes change is a wet baby. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But the truth of it is that we must change. And you say, well, I kind of like things the way they are. Well, again, human nature, we all do. But we must change in order to become what God wants us to be. You say, well, I got saved 50 years ago. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. What's God doing in your life today? What's changing in you today? How are you maturing? How are you growing in the Lord? And what has to change in you for that to happen and in me for that to happen? Max DePree said this. He said, in the end, it's important to remember that we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. So as we look to grow in the Lord, as we look to understand more of Him and be what He wants us to be, we change. You say, well, some things always stay the same. The Word of God, yes, it's true, and it'll be there and through eternity. How people get saved, yes, through the blood of Jesus Christ. All that stays the same. But we change. Look with me on the screen at Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. Now, this was the key scripture last week. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Last week we referred to the children of Israel, how they had been in bondage and they had gotten in trouble and God blessed, and now they were in trouble again, and that their past victories did not help them in that present time. And we, if you remember, you were here last week. We thank God for the victories in the past. We praise Him for all the good He has done. But God's up to something new. And He wants you to do something new and be something new. Not just stay the same as you are. God wants to grow us, mature us, and change us. So forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. And if you remember, we referred to good things in the past and bad things in the past. You cannot dwell. The victories you had 50 years ago are not sufficient for this day. You remember what God's done for you. You thank Him for what God has done for you. But today is a new day, and you need victories for today. Not just victories of 50 years ago. Well, the past. That you can't keep looking behind you and move forward. Well, the past, the things in my past were so bad. You can't allow that to define who you are today. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing now. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand it? Do you not want to acknowledge it? Do you not see what I'm seeing what I'm up to? He says to us, I'm making ways in the deserts and streams in the wasteland, and He still does it today. New things to our life. How many of you would agree that we need change? You say, well, what kind of change? Where do you want to start? You want to start in our own country? Look there for a while. We need a change. We need a change in direction. We need a change in the thought pattern in the way our own country's heading. There's people in all sorts of leadership positions throughout our government saying that right's wrong and wrong's right. They're twisting it around, turning it around, and you know it and I know it. So we can talk about the national scale. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I can talk about me. You can talk about you. I need some change. Sure I do, to keep fresh and grow in the Lord. So when it gets down to a personal level, would we be honest enough to say, I, Ron Leonard, need some change? I need God to do new things in Ron Leonard's life. I say yes to that. I thank God for the past, all the victories, all that God has done for me. I am very thankful for that. But I need God to do a new thing in my life. You do too, if we'll be honest enough to admit that. We all do. If to keep what God would have us to do. And God says, I'm willing. I want to. I love you. You redeem me, Audrey sang about. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I want to do good things. I want to do new things. He said, I want to transform you. God's in the transformation business. And He says, I want to help you. So now how's He going to help us? Well, He says, you've got this thing. Some have more than others. No, not really. I don't get it. It's your mind. Say, well, you just lost yours. Maybe I have lost some of it. The mind. Think about it. What a great tool it is. Think about the brain, how God created the mind. And God says, listen, I want to transform you, and I want you to think the mind. I want to be transformed. I want to be something new. Look with me at Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That is a sermon in itself. If we just stop and look at that sentence. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, there's that word, mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. You say, well, I'm living in the world and we got to do this, we got to do that. Yes, but do not, it's plain, conform any longer to the pattern of the world. If you're going to be changed, if your mind's going to be renewed, you cannot follow the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is. Transformation begins in our mind. We've got to think differently if we want to be differently. And Paul, in Ephesians 4, he says to be renewed in our minds so that we don't act like we acted before we met Jesus. We've got to be renewed. So what's going to be renewed? Look at the next slide. What we think about. What do you think about on a daily basis? And you say, wow, that's a long answer there. I think about a lot of things in the course of the day. Sure you do. But he says what we think about here. I want to transform that. Matthew 9:4, Jesus was knowing what the Pharisees were thinking. Do you believe your thought life is none of God's business? It is God's business. Do you think God knows what you're thinking? How many of you think that God knows what I'm thinking? How many of you think your thought life is very important to who you are? All right, the thought life, the mind. God says, now I want to transform that. I want you to renew that in your mind. Look at Philippians 4:8 on the screen. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says, okay, brothers and sisters now, all the brethren and the sistren, all of you, listen, saved people, brothers, now I want you to think on what's true. Now, there are a lot of sermons in this right here. Whatever is true. Now, truth, what is truth? I want you to think on what is true. Well, now, if I ask this one what truth is and this one what's truth, and my definition, well, would it be the same? Listen to me. There is such a thing called absolute truth, and it is God's Word. Now, a lot of people will tell you you're crazy. You're old-fashioned, you're right-wing, you're a conservative, you're a whatever. Let the names be the names. Let it go, let it flow, let it go, whatever. What's the snowman say? Let it go? Was that the kid's thing? Whatever, just let it go. The truth is God's Word. It is absolute truth. I believe it with everything in me, and therefore it tells me how I should live and what I should do. And we need to hang on to that truth. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely. We need to think on these things. He tells us plainly to do that. So, does that sound like your thought life? Now, who knows your thought life? I don't know your thought life. You don't know all my thought process. You know, and there's all sorts of studies, and you can read all you want to of them. Get on the internet, go to the bookstore about the way men think, the way women think. You know, that thing's been going on since creation, I guess. Men thinking this way, women this way, the thought life of a man, the thought life of a woman, and on. You study all that you want to and come to whatever conclusion you want to, but God's Word's absolute truth. And it tells us to think on the things that are true. So, I ask you this, what clouds your mind? Some days, my mind is better than others. Some days, my thoughts are purer than others. You say, well, oh, preacher, what have you been thinking about? That's part of life. What is your thought life? What's going on? What clouds your mind? What keeps you from thinking about the things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely? Well, take notice, all of us. 2 Corinthians, look at it on the screen. 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now you think about that last phrase a little bit. Taking every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ. That's what we're to do. And we strive to do that. And a lot of days, I'm sure you say, well, I get that job done. And sometimes you think, well, maybe I didn't today. What goes in comes out. Don't get too grossed out. What comes in comes out, goes out. What's coming into your mind? What are you filling it with? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? It comes in, it affects who we are. God said, I want you to be transformed. I want you to renew your mind. I want you to think upon these things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely. I want you to be transformed in your mind. No wonder the numbers say that by the time you're 18, you see 180,000 beer commercials and 80,000 murders on TV by the time you're 18 years old. No wonder we have trouble. No wonder we struggle sometimes with our thought process. We expose our mind only occasionally to the Word of God. We said it was absolute truth. But just occasionally do we... Now you answer this to yourself. Real now. Not for me, not when I'm preparing a sermon, not when I'm preparing Wednesday night, not when I'm trying to do all that. How much is Ron Leonard reading the Word of God in a week? Now you answer that. How much time do you spend on absolute truth in the Word of God? And this is not to lay guilt on you. This is not to say, you know, let the Holy Spirit do all that. Now, if the Holy Spirit knocks on your door and says, listen, you need to read the Word, read it. But really, how much time do we spend on what is true versus all the other things that we read? You can only answer that. Barna says it's this way. 58% of elders read the Word of God weekly. 58%. 47% of boomers, 42% of busters read the Bible in a typical week. It seems, if that is correct, that the younger, the less we're reading God's Word. If that's true, we're in trouble. So, we have nothing to counteract the things that are coming in that are not pure if we're not reading the Word of God. We're just allowing the world, the things of media, internet, whatever, to pour in. And then, if we're not in the Word, we have nothing to counteract those thoughts. We need to be in the Word of God and allow it to do its job. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God preached right here on Sunday morning. You need to hear the Word of God in Sunday school class as it's read and talked about. You need to hear the Word of God in a small group where that group, you can take that, you can dissect it, talk about it. You might get some different opinions, you might get some different thoughts, but you need that Word of the living God. It's to survive. We must have it. Youth, you need the Word of the living God. On Wednesday nights and Sunday night, young people, are you reading the Word? Well, I come to church every now and then. Are you reading the Word, which is absolute truth? Young people, are you doing it? Middle-aged, older folks, my age folks, congregation, we've got to have the Word of God if we want to do this. Look at the next slide. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. God said, I want you to be transformed. I want something to change in you. I want to change the way you're thinking about things and about, look at the next slide, how we think about ourselves. God said, I want this to be transformed. So what do you think about yourself? You say, well, is that really important? Yes, it is. It's very important how you think about yourself. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace that was given me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith." Now, if you go on down in that chapter, and this is out of a different version, verse 16 says, "Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody." All right, so how do you think about yourself? Usually one of two ways, some in the middle, but the statistics say you think too highly of yourself or you think too low of yourself. So only you know that. If it's too high, then you tend to be proud. We think we're too good. We deserve special treatment. We're better than everybody else. Or if it's too low, we think too low of ourselves. Then we get this image of where I'm a nobody, I'm insignificant, I'm an outcast, I have low self-esteem. Well, there's no use to have low self-esteem if you're a child of the King, because you're an heir of His. So, you know, we've got to change the way we think about ourselves sometimes. You're no better than anybody else. I don't care who you are or who you think you are. You are no better than anybody else. And you cannot feel so low about yourself that you think you're a nobody because you are somebody. And God said so. I didn't drum this up. He said so. If you're His, you're a child of the King. So God said, "Listen, I want you to be renewed. I want you to be transformed. I want you to change some things, what you think about, how we think about ourselves." And the next one, think about others. How do you think about other people? God says it's important. Hey, what do you think about other people? The church is a family. Whether you like it or don't like it or whatever, we're to be a family. We're to be a body of Christ, a family, a unit. Pick your friends, you're stuck with your family, we say. Heard that before? My mom's my mom, my dad's my dad, my wife's my wife, my kids are my kids. If they're good, if they're bad, if they're whatever, that's who they are. My mom, my dad, my wife, my children, that's the family. If they're doing things well and pleasing me, they're my family. If all hell breaks loose, they turn their back on God, they live a sinful lifestyle, they'll still be my family. I won't like what they're doing, and God forbid, I hope it never happens, but they'll still be family. Now, what do we think about each other? Don't tell me. Some of you tell me more than I really want to hear what you think about me. Most of you don't, but oh goodness, maybe I'm guilty of doing the same to you. Oh, we're still family. The body of Christ is still a family. It's still a unit. When we agree, when we disagree, when we whatever, we are the body of Christ. We are a family. How we think about other people. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Now, this is a little different version, as you can tell as I read. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down and out. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. So, yes, it's a little different take. Ann Landers' column, "Dear Ann, it happened to me again. My two sons and I were in a shopping mall, and a total stranger felt the need to comment on the fact that my boys didn't look anything alike. Apparently, my six-year-old decided it was time to explain the difference. 'I'm adopted,' he said. 'That's when you have the same family, but not the same face.'" So, you know, he just got it up. Hey, I'm adopted. He wasn't. The story goes on, but they didn't look alike and on. But we're adopted. Listen, we're all adopted into the family of God. He adopted me. He adopted you. If you're His, if you're saved, we're adopted in to the family. God said, listen, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to be changed, and I want you to keep changing and growing and how you think, what you think about others, what you think about yourself. And then the next slide and the last one of the day is what you think about the church. How do you view the church? What do you think about the church? Well, it's just another obligation. Well, it's just maintenance mode. We just go up there and we do the same thing we do, you know, week after week. Well, it's optional. I'll take it. If something better comes along, man, I'm out of here. Pew, don't look for me on Sunday. How do we think about the church? Really, now you think about this a while. Through the week, how do I view myself? How do I view others? How do I feel about the church? How does that church thing work? We've got it messed up a little bit. In America, what we think about the church of the living God, is the most important institution on the face of the earth. God did it. Jesus put it in motion. The Holy Spirit's working in it. Jesus Christ is the head of it. It was here before I got here. It'll be here after I leave, and the same goes for you. The church of the living God is very important. And I'm glad you're here today saying that it is important to me too. But not everybody this day and time thinks it's too important. Look at the wood that's out here, as Tony Martin says. Well, I see a lot of wood out there today. It's not too important to some, or they'd be here. Now, preacher, you're old-fashioned. Preacher, you'll step on toes. If you're changed by the blood of Jesus, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, the church of the living God means something to you, period. Now, you write somebody else the letter, you tell them how wrong I am or whatever, but you're not convincing me. If you're changed, if you're transformed, the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will mean something to you, and you will support it. Bottom line, period, I'm done. We can go home. I'm convinced. If you're changed, if Jesus means something to you, you will be there and you will support the church. Well, what do we need to change in our minds about the church? Well, we can't just attend out of obligation. Well, you know, I'm a preacher. I got to show up. You know, there's all kinds of jokes about that. Swanberg, you remember him, how funny he was. He might be dated or out of date now, I don't know. But I need to look those tapes up and watch them again. You know, they didn't have service one Sunday night, and I'll probably mess a joke up here. I can't remember it right now. But anyway, they didn't have church on Sunday night or whatever, and he said to his wife, if you watch those tapes, make us some of that Rotel stuff. Anyway, she made the Rotel, and they was eating chips, and he looked over at her and said, honey, you think this is why the saints don't come back on Sunday night? They're at home watching the ball game eating Rotel and chips. Anyway, I know, one too funny, but anyway, get the tapes. He is funny, Swanberg. We can't just go out of obligation. And even if we take, and we cannot take the Bible out of it, but you think of the men and women that have died fighting for the freedom of our country so you and I could gather like this today and worship freely. Died. Give their life that we can live in a free country and worship God today. We don't have to worry about somebody running in the door and killing us. Yet. But today we don't, and men and women have died for that privilege. And Jesus, the main guy, if you will, the one, the Son of the living God, gave his life, and he's the head of the church. Don't tell me the church don't mean anything. You can be wrong if you want to. Ooh, I don't know about that. The church of the living God is very important. Not out of obligation. We can't just say, well, it's just maintenance. You know, we go up there, we sing a song, and you know, he preaches sometimes pretty good, sometimes not much to it. And You know, yes, we do repeat. Yes, we do some of the same things every week. But praise and worship is to be new every week. The singing is not to Angie. It's not to the people leading. It's to God. I'm here to worship God. I'm here in the Sunday school class not because Barry's teaching it today, even though I enjoyed it very much, but because the Word of the living God is there. I'm not going to go to Leslie's house tonight because I dislike Leslie, even though I like Leslie. But somebody is going to have the Word of the living God there that will empower me and refresh my mind that I may know how to live to please my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to hear a sermon, whether I preach it, read it, look at it online or whatever, because it is the living Word of God that helps me in my mind to be renewed and changed in my soul that I might know how to live for God. We need the church. It's not just maintenance. It is we expect, we pray, we ask God to show up, and it's certainly not optional. You can read Hebrews 10:25. And the world we live in is more and more and more saying to young families, old families, middle-aged families, church is just an option. Look around you today. We're not pointing fingers and saying everybody's not here today, they're going to hell. But I'm here to tell you it wasn't important enough some way for them to be here today. Take it however you want to take it. I say it with love and concern. That's the intent. There's people that church thing's just optional. And if something else comes along that I want to do, I'm gone. Hey, I'm going to take a vacation. You're going to take a vacation. We're going to miss some Sundays. Nobody's harping on that. But we're saying the overall picture, the overall year, you know I'm going to be here. You know my tithes check is in the plate. You know you can count on me for this, that, or the other. Because the church means something to me. Because Jesus Christ means something to me. The kingdom of God around the world means something to me. Therefore, I might miss a few Sundays and be on vacation and doing this and doing that. But the overall picture, you look at it, the old boy Ron Leonard's going to be there. Well, he just does it because he's a preacher. No, I do it because I'm a Christian. I do it because Jesus Christ saved me from the very pits of hell and gave me an eternal home in a place called heaven. That's why I do it. Not because I'm the preacher. Sometimes I wished I wasn't, you know. You've all had a position like that too, that some days you just, well, let somebody else handle all that. The kingdom means something, and it means something to you. You're here. You don't tell me church is just optional. That's not what God said. He said, forsake not the assembly yourself together. It's important that you be there. Well, don't I have to work? Yes, you do. Don't I have to this, that, and that? Yes, we do. But again, overall, you know that person's there. So, it's not optional. God said, listen, think about what you're thinking about, your thoughts, how are you viewing these things, how's your own thought life, what are you thinking about other people, what are you thinking about yourself, and what do you think about the church? The Bible says it this way, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, if I let things start slipping in the mind, you say, well, you've done more than let it slip, you've lost it. You know, I feel like my mind's slipping. I'm not talking about in that viewpoint. If I just get to this thought comes, you know, one day, well, I just don't need to go up there this morning. you know, I need a little break. Well, maybe you do need a break. And you take a week off. Well, the next Sunday, something else comes along, and, well, you know, I've not done this in a while. I believe I'm going to do it. And the next thing, you're up 4, 5, 6 weeks. And before long, it's just an option. Take it or leave it. Does Jesus Christ not mean any more to the people who call Him Lord and Savior than that? You say, well, what are you talking for, brother? I'm here. I'm glad you're here. And it does say you're concerned. Now help me convince other people. Well, how you think has a lot to do with the way you live and what's important to you. And God says, I want to change you. Human nature says, I don't want to ever change anything. The Spirit will come and speak to you and say, hey, this should be important to you. And then you have a choice, just like we all do. I'll listen to what the Spirit's saying or I'll just forget it. We make choices. You know, there's a prayer over in the Psalms, probably 26 or something like that. And this is not a quote exactly, but he says, examine me, O Lord. Examine me. Look in my heart. See what's there. Really examine me and see if there's any unclean thing in me. Try my heart. Try my mind. See if I am where I really need to be. And I guess that's a good place to close. That we would all just say, Lord, examine me. Lord, search me. Try me. Know my heart today. And if you're serious, Lord, about all this change and things and renewal and transformation, I'll just take you up on it. I'll just take you up on it, Lord, and you help me with my thought life. Lord, would you please help me to view myself correctly, not too high, not too low. Would you help me to view others the way you see them, Lord? Would you help me to view the church and its importance the way you see it? Lord, renew my mind. Change my mind, my thought patterns. Don't let me conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Take every captive, every thought captive. Make it obedient to Christ. Your thought pattern is very important. Would you stand with me?